back to the Build Your Empire podcast, where today we are joined by the amazing Lauren Slocum-Lahav, who is definitely an amazing person that has had a lot of influence in my life. Lauren is a mom, she's a successful businesswoman, she's a leader, she's a wife. Welcome, Lauren. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, my little Scorpio sister. How are you?
I'm so, so good. Look, tell everyone that's listening, Lauren, a little bit about who is Lauren? You know, what is it that you stand for, I guess, for anyone who hasn't crossed paths with you?
Let's see. Who am I? I'm just a little girl from Western North Carolina, a little Jewish girl from Western North Carolina who was told her whole life, oh, you can't. And then my whole life was, well, I'll show you. And it seems to be the story of my life. I'm not, you know, I'm 55 now, like you said. And every time someone told me that I couldn't do it, I made it happen. I mean, from the very, very beginning, I remember the very first time that my grandmother, there was something called a walkathon. And I was 10 years old. And my grandmother said to me, how are you going to do a walkathon? And I said, one step at a time. Right. And literally, that just, it's what came out of my mouth. And I think that that's kind of how I live my life. I'll find a way or I'll make a way. And as I get older and wiser, I just don't listen to the noise so much anymore. And that's what, if you really want to build any kind of empire, whether it be at home with your family or with your health or just with a business, you know, you got to turn the noise off. So I stand for staying true to who you are. There have been a lot of times that I didn't stay true because I listened to the noise. And it took me off course. So that's, I'm all about just, you know, embracing, you know, living a badass and beautiful life and just going for it. But that's me.
I love that. And, you know, maybe it's a Scorpio trait, you know, let me show you because we're definitely the same in that sense. So, you know, building your empire, which now, you know, has impacted thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You know, life hasn't always looked like that for you. You know, there was a time for you where, you know, it was probably really scary. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looked like?
Oh my gosh. There have been many times that, you know, it was scary. I think one is the first scary decision, you know, Tony Robbins always says, you know, the quality of your life is the quality of how much uncertainty you can handle in your life and embracing that uncertainty. And being okay with it. I mean, I think the first part of it is just saying yes that you want to build something. You know, it's like, ooh, do I really want to do it on my own? Like, I think people have to be really dirt honest with themselves if what is it going to take? You know, I like to use the example lots of times of Michael Jordan. You know, when people say, well, I want to be the Michael Jordan of my industry or my profession or whatever that it is. And like I said, I'm in North Carolina, so I actually met Michael Jordan before. And it's like, do you know what that takes? That takes a lot of sacrifice. That takes a lot of practice. That takes a lot of, you know, missing a lot of free throws. That takes a lot of like saying no to some things that you want to say yes to, but he was committed to being the GOAT, right? He was committed to being the greatest of all times. So for me, I think the first step was just even saying yes to it because a lot of people are like, what? I mean, what are you going to do? And why are you doing that? And why this and that? I think the other time was, you know, when, 3 years into building my business, I went through a divorce and my kids were 11, 7, and 3 years old. And it was, remember their ages again. Maybe they were a little bit, no, I started when they were, so Joss would have been 14. Asher was like 3.5. And I was just like, I remembered what my mission was, what my vision was. And I think that just reminding yourself constantly of who do you need to become if I really want to make that happen. But life's going to happen. You know, everybody, you know, I heard years ago Bear Grylls speak, and he's like, everybody's got an Everest. Everybody's going through some kind of challenge in their life. Mm-hmm. And he said, when I climb Mount Everest, I knew some parts were going to suck, you know, and lots of times you just have to embrace the suck. And I know that doesn't sound very sexy, but that's what you have to do. He goes, but if I was going to get to the top of Mount Everest, I was going to have to do things I didn't want to do. I was going to have to you know, challenge myself. Times I didn't want to really be challenged. I just wanted to like it to be easy. And, but we all know that there's no growth in the easy times. And, you know, like even, you know, times when people, like I was all excited about working with some people that I thought were going to work the business. And then they decided that they were going to go do something else. Right. So you have to discipline your disappointments too. And just remember why you're doing what you're doing. And like, once again, really hold strong to that vision. So yeah. I hope that's helpful.
So on your journey, can you share with us probably the most influential person in your life? Who was that for you?
On this current journey or like, or just in...
In the molding of, you know, who you are now, you know, who was that first person that popped into your head when I said that? Like who, you know, it could have been somebody from a book, video, you know, it doesn't have to be somebody that you know.
It'd be my mom. Yeah. For sure, it'd be my mom. You know, my mom, you know, my dad was an optometrist for 52 years and he was trading his time for dollars. And that's the worst investment you can ever do. Just FYI, is trading your time for dollars. And, but my mom was quite a visionary. I mean, we would go work at the flea markets and early in the morning, she taught me the importance of a work ethic, the importance of just dreaming big, the importance of, you know, like if trying something and if it didn't work, then that was okay. At least you made the effort to make it work and then do something else and try something else. But I would definitely say that it was my mom for sure. And you know what? My mom was definitely, she went to, how do you say, she beat it her own drum. She definitely wasn't the like most popular, or the most well-liked person, but she truly stayed true. She really stayed true to herself and her dreams and, just living life, man. So yeah, my mom.
So awesome. So on this journey, you know, you have smashed, you know, business online, but also face-to-face and, you know, become one of the most, you know, influential women in network marketing and probably in business in general, you know. What was one of the struggles for you where you remember thinking, you know what, like, is this worth it?
Oh my God.
There's many, right?
Yeah, there's many. There's, I mean, like, you know, I mean, I think the thing that people, if they really want to be an entrepreneur and they really want to do this, they have to understand that sometimes it's lonely.
Yeah.
A lot of the times it's lonely. And I think that we don't tell people that. We think it's all going to be like, yay, everybody's going to want to like jump on a call and everybody's going to want to be buying into like this big vision that I have. And we make it too much about us versus why we're really doing what it is. Like Lisa Grossman, she's an amazing woman in network marketing. And she says, your job is to get to the front of the room as quickly as possible and then pass the mic to somebody else. So what that means is you want other people to rise. And there's this part of like, well, not everybody's wanting to do my thing. That's great, you know? And so I think that was a big thing. I remember saying to my husband once, he came home from his job, you know, at an office, and he came home. I'm like, babe, I go, I'm like really having a hard time. I go, I am really kind of lonely. And he says, what are you talking about? You know, you're with people all day long. I go, I'm not with people at all. I go, I'm on the phone. I'm on Zooms. I'm in the house with me and the dogs. You know, I look for an excuse to get out, but it's pretty, you know, I think but I love it, you know, because I get to see the results, but you have to make sure that you understand that leadership lots of times is lonely.
Yeah.
And you're also not going to be popular all the time. You know, I just, you know, it was with you know, talking with a friend today, and like, you have to be willing to embrace the great things, but also like really embrace the things that aren't so great. So I think that's a big thing that, I mean, there've been a lot of times where I go, you know, is it worth it? You know, one of the biggest things, you know, that I share is that there was a friend of mine and her name was Louie Thady, and she was in a plane crash and there were 12 people on the plane, and that there were some people, they landed in the water and there were only three of them that they could swim, and she was one that could swim. And she said, Lauren, there were some people with their hands up in the water and there were some people that were drowning. She said, who do you think I helped? And I said, well, I hope you helped the people with their hands up. And she said, you know, I actually went towards the drowning person. Well, when you help, what happens when you help a drowning person, they pull you down with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing. Lots of times I wanted to help people because I knew what this could mean for them, but they didn't want it. They were drowning. And you know, so you've got to be willing to work with those people who really want it, who've got their hands up. And that's probably the hardest thing, is because you know what it can be for people if they get in line and stay in line. There's but a lot of people just, they don't want to stay in line. They don't want the help or whatever that is. So
yeah, totally. Yeah. That's such a valuable lesson, you know, is there. Like you said, the people who have got their hands down have pretty much already given up. They already don't believe that they can do it. They don't have the drive that it will take to see it through. Is that right?
Or they're listening to a lot of noise on the sidelines, right? Like a lot of people, unfortunately, aren't staying true to themselves because they're listening to the noise around them, whether it's from peers or for a spouse or somebody else, like, you're going to go do what? You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And so then they don't have that emotional strength to remember what it was. I mean, I always like to say that, you know, there's the dream. You gotta live in the clouds, but also keep your feet planted on the ground. There's this beautiful balance between those two. But lots of times we get sucked back into reality. And people, you know, you're like, you have this dream, you know, it's possible. It happened to me. Like, I mean, I was like, I'm taking over the world, you know, and I'm going to like help people everywhere. And everybody's like, hang on, Lauren, like, just slow down just a little bit, just like slow down. Their intention was good. They thought that they were protecting me, but what they were doing was they were killing my spirit. And so that you've got to remember the dream. You've got to remember the dream and not get sucked back into reality sometimes, because you know, when reality starts to suck you back in, you go, well, maybe that is too big of a dream, maybe that is too much, maybe I am a little crazy. But anyway, now for me, I'm totally embracing the craziness even more. So and I'm not, you know what, and being proud of it. Like, yeah. I felt like I was supposed to shrink, you know, just because for everybody else to feel, you know, you've heard the Marianne Williamson quote, you know, it's like, who are you to be fabulous, you know, unbelievable? Who are you not to be? Your serving small does not serve the world. You know, you were meant to, you know, expand and grow and be all that wonderful. But there's a part of us that, I'm going to tell you once again, it feels lonely. You know, it sucks sometimes when when people want to, you're excited. Like, man, I remember when Bob Proctor, I remember when I wrote my first book, it's 25 years ago. And it was picked up by a major publisher. It was a big freaking deal. And I mean, not your major publisher. There was no self-publishing back then. There was none of that. And I'm like, Bob, I don't get it. Like, why are my friends excited for me? I'd be so excited if my friend wrote a book that was picked up by a major publisher. And he said, Lauren, it's not that they're not excited for you. They're afraid that you're going to leave them behind.
Yeah.
And that you're going to go find new groups of friends. You're going to find a different peer group. And that's the challenge that happens for people. So they're like, well, you know what? Maybe I won't, because ooh, what if I lose my friendship here or this and that? And life is about growing. So I don't know. Sometimes you'll just outgrow your friends. Some people were meant in your life for a reason and a season or a lifetime. You've heard it said before, but you've got to embrace that. And you've got to have that emotional strength to remember why you're here.
Yeah. It's like people sort of feel, when you're doing really well, you know, it kind of probably triggers them to not feel enough, you know, which I think is understanding that that's not your shit, right? Like that's not your fight. You've got to continue to shine. Whereas, like you said, you know, a lot of people will dull their sparkle in order to keep fitting in, and fitting in is not going to
right. And then, but that's when that emotional strength, like I really honestly, like now, like, I mean, and I'm 55, right? Like I said earlier, I'm 55. I'm just going to be honest. I mean, I did that for so long. I've been in the personal development world for 32 years. I mean, as you know, I've worked for Tony Robbins for 32 years. I've run his Life Mastery program since 2002, created the Crew program, Teach Life Mastery now. Just got back from teaching virtual wealth mastery. But I mean, I'll just say it now. I mean, I literally, probably up until literally, probably almost not even a year ago, still gave a shit about what people thought.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, now I really don't give it. I mean, it's not that I don't give a shit. It's just like, I know I am being my best me now. I really, you know, if you don't cheer me on, that's too bad. That's a loss for you. You know, like, I mean, I love to celebrate my friends' wins as if it was my own win for them, because it is your win. Like when you're having a great podcast, then let's celebrate the hell out of it. I mean, that's the only way the world's going to get better is if we each celebrate each other's wins. So. Yeah.
So true. So what do you remember the shift that happened in order for you to truly stand in that power compared to, you know, like we say, I don't really care what people think, but we're not entirely in that place. Do you remember, was there a shift or was it years and years and years of work? And, you know, one day you just went, you know what? Like I do, I absolutely love who I am now and I don't care.
Yeah, I think it was years of work. Another Bob Proctor conversation, if you would. I remember when I was talking to him just a couple of years ago, and he was writing the foreword for my, I asked him if he would write the foreword for my book, The Courage to Raise a Gentleman. And I went to Bob and I go, I owe you the biggest apology. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, I used to think that like experience and time in the trenches, that was like, whatever. And now like, I get it. Like I've had so many experiences of whether it's working one-on-one with people or teaching events or, you know, doing all these things. I said, there is something to be said about experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it was that time where I just was like, I know who I am. Like, I know my intentions. Like every day I say, you know, I'll say to my, you know this. I say to myself every day, I've said it for the past 20 years. Today's gonna be the best day of my life again. And now I've added to it, like, I know who I am. I know what I stand for. I know what my mission is here to do, you know? And you know what it got? You know what it really was, Melanie? Was, I don't know if you watched the movie, The Social Dilemma. And have you seen it yet? And then where the guy, it talks about the whole social media and the guy who created the like button. I mean, the outcome of the like button was really just like a fun thing for him. And he was like, man, I never knew like people were going to have depression from people not liking their photos, or people were going to, you know, do something to hurt themselves because that, you know, a photo wasn't liked. And I think even me, I fell into it. I was like, why aren't people liking it? Like, why are people this and that? And then I remember asking myself, why are you doing this in the first place? Why are you posting on social media? Why are you doing this? And for me, I was like, I'm doing this because I want to be hope for people. I want to show them that, you know, that they can get through it. They can go through those tough times, that they're going to learn from them. I'm going to do something to share, you know, give people like exercises that they can do. I'm going to share it, you know, about what about raising your kids, anything. I do it as hope. And when I remembered that, I stopped like caring about like if anybody liked it or not, you know, and I started like looking at like, why am I really doing this in the first place? So I think that was what happened with me.
Yeah, definitely. Connecting back to that why, I think, it, like you said, it puts you back in alignment with your mission. It puts you back in alignment with why you do what you do. So tell us, what is your daily routine? I know this is massive. I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, you know, we'll talk about the 5 a.m. club, you know, a lot of people will have a strict routine that they follow every single morning in order to get in that right frame of mind. What's that for you?
Well, I mean, I don't know if people are really doing the 5 a.m. club because they want to do the 5 a.m. club. I do the 5:30 club because my dogs wake me up at 5:30 and, you know, so I'm up. Yeah. And I think that something I've learned my whole life from my dad was really a beautiful thing is before you even take care of yourself, to take care of those that can't take care of themselves. So my dogs can't let themselves out. My dogs can't feed themselves. And so I wake up, you know, one, to take care of them, you know, to make sure that they're, and so what's great is I think that I'm a lot kinder to myself in the morning. I'm not as, I'm very intentional with my days, but I'm kind to myself if I don't do something. Does that make sense? So yeah. I'm very much in flow when I'm in the morning. So it's my dogs. I take them outside. I appreciate something in nature. I have my 5-minute meetings with God. Now it's not like a checklist of, it's not like, what are the checklist of things that I do in the morning? Now it's just, who am I in the morning? You know, like, who am I and how do I live my life? And so, I mean, I have a trainer that comes. I mean, it's, you know, one of my favorite books is the Brian Tracy book, Eat That Frog. And he says, you know, do the nastiest, grossest frog in the morning. So for me, that's exercising. And so I figure if Dwayne comes over, then I'm going to eat that damn frog. And I'm like, I look and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the day where I'm actually excited for you to come over in the morning. And so, you know, I mean, I do my, you know me, I do my I am statements. I do my, mm-hmm. my, all of those type of things, but I'm intentional about my mornings with what I do. And I make sure to take care of me and my, you know, and my dogs first thing in the morning. And then I hunker down from 10 to 2. Hunker down. Like, I've used block timing big time in my life. I think the one thing that I would say to people is find your groove of what works for you. And make sure that you see, is it consistent with your identity? So yeah. That's it.
So as we wrap up, Lauren, I would love for you to share, what was the book for you that was an absolute game changer? I mean, I'm sure there's hundreds of them.
One book?
If we were talking to, you know, a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast are, you know, people that are in the process of building their empire, you know, they're very much well on their way. What would fit that criteria for a book that you could recommend that it just, I know for me, it was The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. Like, I don't know.
Mine's The Alchemist. The Alchemist by Pablo Coelho. And I first read it about, gosh, when he first wrote the book, I think probably about 27 years ago. And so I think everybody should read that book, because I don't want to give away why it's so important. But I think The Alchemist is most important for sure. And if I were to have to give a second one, which I would love to give a second one, is Man's Search for Meaning. And so that's another, those are the two that I would say, because it's, you know, you've got to look for the why of why you're doing what you're doing in the first place. And then you have to remember who you are. And that your unique gift to the world. You know, we're a lot alike, but we're also very different, right? We each bring our own unique life experiences, and nobody can bring in those exact same experiences, you know, to the table. So celebrating that's why I'd recommend The Alchemist. And then why you need to tell the story, you know, so Man's Search for Meaning. Those would be the two books. I, you know me, I'm a rule breaker. So that's why I had to say two books.
I love it. I have to put them on my list. So look, to wrap this up, you know, I would love for people.
I sent you the book. You should have gotten it for Christmas. I sent you the book. You should have it. Man's Search for Meaning. You need to ask the girls about that, because I sent you a book. You got one. Trust me, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to chase that one up, because it didn't land here. But look, Lauren, if you were to go back in time and give your younger self a lesson, what would that be? Or to give your younger self, you know, a motto to go by, or some words of wisdom, what would that be?
The same thing I always talk about. Stay true to yourself. Stay true to who you are. You know, that's what I would definitely say to my younger self. Celebrate you. You know, my daughter's going through some fascinating times in her life right now, like going through the goth stage. But I think that it's cool. I love it. I love that she's loud and proud about who she is, and just to let, you know, it's like, I know that she's learning and some beautiful lessons, but I love just watching her go through so many different shifts. So I think that that's what I would say to my, I mean, I am very grateful for all the tough times. I think that that's important. I think that the challenges that I went through in my life when I was younger, especially when I was younger, definitely shaped who I am today. And I wouldn't change anything at all. You know, I had my best friend die when I was a freshman in college, and then another girl died that I just got to be friends with my freshman year of college. But those experiences shaped who I was. I mean, growing up in this, I mean, maybe for people in Australia, they might not understand, but, you know, growing up and going through some really interesting, hard times, I'm grateful for it. I really, really, really am. And so I would just say to everybody, my message would be to everybody is you've got to embrace the hard, because that's where all the growth is, in the tough times.
Yeah.
It is not when it's all, I mean, look at what everybody's been through this past year and a half,
yeah.
Right? I mean, everybody, and you don't want it going back to, I don't want it going back the way that it was before. I'm better. I want to come back better. I'm freaking on fire, man. I'm like, you like, watch out. So that's what I would say is embrace the hard.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it's in those lessons, right, where, like you said, you're shaped, you know. And I think for me, it was one of those moments where I went, you know, you've done the work when you can sit there and be grateful for the hard times rather than sitting there and hating and playing the poor me card. You know you've grown when you can look back on some of the most craziest times you wouldn't wish upon your worst enemy, and you can actually be grateful for them. You know, it's that's powerful stuff. So Lauren, tell us where anyone, you know, who loves listening to you, where can they find you?
I'm easy to find, just laurenlahav.com. I'm on Instagram. I am Lauren Lahav. I'm on all of those channels. I have a link tree, I guess, that all of those places you can find out everything that we're up to. And come and make sure that if you go to the website, punch in the code FRIEND, so you get a discount on all of the cool merch we have there. And we have an inner circle group of awesome women and an insider group, and just to come and play with us. We have fun.
I love
that.
That's
about it.
Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. I know you're a busy woman. And look, there will be many lessons taken from this. I'm sure. So thank you.
Well, I love you, and I'm very proud of you, and excited to hear about all the great things that you go out there and create. So,
thank
and all of you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.